Andy Hodges of Hog Country Online joins us. Andy, good to see you this weekend.
Well, it was. It's the first time I've seen you, and I got to see your daughter that you had at the Hoops Challenge with you, getting her into basketball early. And it was a long day Saturday, but some really great basketball.
It was really good basketball, and that's one thing. I asked her, I said, do you want to go watch? You're going to have to sit there. And she goes, well, do we get to eat popcorn? I said, I'll buy you some popcorn if you'll go watch some hoops. So, she liked the uniform. She wanted Forest City to win because she liked their blue uniforms. Yeah. And then
That's like my mom. She picks her bowl games by the uniforms and mascots.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was a 28-28 game at the half.
Yeah, and then it kind of fell apart for Forest City.
Well, once that Trey Thompson fouled out, but they took it into overtime against Northside.
Which game am I thinking about that they fell apart? It was seven games. I was there for all seven of them, and they have started to run together on me. I have to pull out my notes.
If you remember, what young player impressed you the most? Not the seniors that everybody knows, but as far as young players, who out there impressed you the most to look forward to the next couple of years?
Hands down, Malik Monk is going to be among the best basketball players that have ever come out of this state. He is a freshman right now, and he was one of the five best players at the Hoops Challenge all day as a ninth grader.
That is crazy.
This kid can jump out of the gym.
Is he 6'3"?
Maybe, if you stretch him.
Yeah,
but he's still growing. He's still growing.
Unbelievable athletic ability. And Andy, the fact he missed his first free throw, but then hit 15 straight. 15 of 16 from the free throw line, 36 points in the game. As a freshman against Maumelle, which is a 5A school.
And in one of the toughest gyms in Central Arkansas to shoot in because of the white background that they have on each end of the gym.
Right.
It really throws your depth perception off, shooting just enough that they really have problems shooting in that gym. But what got me, guys, is the way that he jumps. There were times I was standing down in the end, shooting pictures. I could walk under him when he jumped.
Yeah.
If he's anything like his brother, the one thing I remember about Marcus, and I haven't seen Malik play, but Marcus was so natural at everything, and his eye-hand coordination was high. He was a great high-character kid. Had great basketball IQ, and the same thing when he was receiver for that one year, he just had a knack for getting open and making the play. Like his just natural awareness, stuff you can't coach, he was really good at stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think Malik's got a lot of that. Malik's got his head on straight for a ninth grader. He's not up in the clouds, and I know I was talking with Ron Crawford about that, and Ron just looked at me and said, that won't be a problem with the Monks, trust me.
Yeah,
the head won't be in the cloud.
I was sitting across the aisle from James Bates, head coach of the Conway Wampuscats, and I turned to him during Malik's game, and I looked at him and I said, which freshman is better, yours meaning Adrian Moore or Malik? And he just kind of smiled and chuckled. There's a good freshman right here in Central Arkansas too, playing for Conway, and that's Adrian Moore that – can jump out of the gym as well. I think that the Andy basketball is getting better in the state of Arkansas.
And when we have Ron Crawford on, that needs to be the matchup the next 3 years. Let them play against each other. It'd be pretty good.
I like it. Andy, make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll see. Right now, I don't even want to hear the two phrase, Hoops Challenge.
Hoops Challenge.
Bring that up to me back in next January.
Well, let's talk about some of the other outstanding performances you had. Little Rock Parkview, the I.J. Reddy, who's a Mississippi State signee, Anton Beard, the Missouri commit, playing in a game against Forest City that had the size. Parkview was able to speed them up. It was a close game throughout until the fourth quarter when Parkview started to stretch the lead lead away. You look at the Jonesboro-Jacksonville game. Jacksonville drops down in classification this year into 5A. They were a team that a couple of years ago were playing for a state championship at the Class 6A level. Some good old rivalries there between Jonesboro and Jacksonville in conference play. This was a non-conference game, obviously, because they switch conferences right now, but still a great game nonetheless.
Jacksonville has some athletes, and Victor, you know, I think is still trying to find an identity for this team. It's kind of the impression. I didn't get much of a chance to talk to Victor Joyner after the game, but I got the impression that's what he was still trying to find an identity. Parkview is very, very good. I mean, Parkview just wore Fayetteville down in that game and just took control in the second half. And, of course, it was one of the more I had one of the more entertaining experiences at the Parkview game. And, of course, Trey, you remember where I was sitting, which was down.
Oh, you had Flanagan. You had Coach Flanagan right in front of you.
Yeah, and sitting right beside me was Charles Ripley. So I got the Rippers color commentary dealing with Flanagan on the sidelines right in front of me. So for me, that was one of the most entertaining games of the entire day was the Parkview-Fayetteville game. But Parkview, IJ Reddy is unbelievable. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody that is as quick with the fake to the left, the jab step to the right and up for the shot and nothing but net. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen anybody that is that quick that literally gets the defender so far out of position. It looks like the defender just is 5 feet out of position and he was right in front of him when the play started.
And we all know Bobby Portis is going to be an Arkansas Razorback, Little Rock Hall and Bentonville. Andy, a game that I think surprised some people with how long Bentonville was able to stay in this one all the way down to the wire. The head coach from Lehigh was sitting behind me, and Wes Swift with Jonesboro was to my right. And we were talking about Bobby Portis, and he had never seen him play. And Wes turned around and said, well, he can shoot outside too when he needs to. And it was about three or four more times down the court, he decided to step back about 5 feet behind a three-point line and throw one up and hit nothing but net. And I turned around, and the Lehigh coach was just – he was shaking his head. He goes, this kid can do everything.
Well, there's a reason that Bobby Portis is going to be on the USA basketball team. He's already been selected for that. That was announced over the weekend. And so Bobby Portis is going to be on the Basketball USA team, and he's good. I'm really excited about the prospect of Portis along with Hunter Mickelson and Moses Kingsley, what they bring to the table for the Razorbacks next year. The Razorback basketball team next year, guys, is going to have a totally different look than it has this year when you throw Portis and Kingsley in there along the same size as Hunter Mickelson. And Portis and Mickelson are quite capable of stepping out beyond the three-point line and being as good as anybody that the Hogs have on the roster right now shooting from back behind that three-point line. And you've got Kingsley, who is down below, who is just a beast down there rebounding and playing defense down low. And it's I get really excited about the prospects for the Razorbacks next year.
Well, and speaking of the Razorbacks this year, we all kind of hope and think that we're going to win these next four non-conference games. But, okay, when we get into SEC play and we have 18 games, what is a realistic idea of what our record can be in those 18 games?
Matt, that's hard. As up and down as the entire league appears to be right now, where I don't think outside of Florida you have a clear dominant team.
Right.
In the entire league, I think you could take the top 10 teams in the SEC this year, and on any given night, they could beat the other one. It just being Kentucky, I don't think, is as good as they were last year.
Yeah,
the
bad thing about that is we play them late in the year because they're going to get better, but hopefully we get better also.
Yeah, I think this is an Arkansas team that as it continues to find the identity. I know that Mike is still looking for certain players to step up and take charge. You know, right now the guy that seems to provide the most electricity on the entire team and maybe is among the three best shooters on the entire team is Keiko Haydar. Who saw that coming?
And being the first one off the bench in the game against Alcorn State on Saturday was Keiko Haydar.
Well, he's earned that with his play in the game so far and with his performances in practice because, according to Mike and Melvin Watkins, this guy practices just like you see him on the floor. He's all over the place. He's knocking down shots. He's making plays. And that's what they've got to have. And I think Keiko Haydar has been a beyond extremely pleasant surprise the way that he's performed for this team this year.
Andy, with the switch in the way the league is lined up this year with everybody thrown into one basket instead of the East and the West, and you play the teams in your division twice, you play one game with the other team. Arkansas is having to play Florida twice this year. They're having to play Vanderbilt twice this year. They're having to play Missouri twice, Texas A&M twice, Auburn twice. If this was a year where you played teams on your division, I think Arkansas wins their division this year, because they only would have to play Florida once, Kentucky once, Vanderbilt once. And I think having the advantage of playing in Auburn twice and Alabama twice, even though Alabama's good, but they lost their center. But you look at a Texas A&M team, an Ole Miss team, and a Mississippi State team is struggling.
Yeah, they're still trying to find their identity too. And I don't like lumping it all into one big classification. I like the division play thing. I like the way it was. And I don't like lumping everybody into one category because it does create some mismatches. And this year is a prime example with Arkansas having to play Florida twice. What's the reasoning behind that? I don't know what it is. I mean, is that a TV game or what? Is that something they think that the league office thought would be a good TV draw twice a year? I would think Arkansas-Kentucky would be a better TV draw than Arkansas-Florida. But, you know, the league office decided to do it that way, and I don't like it, and I don't think it works to Arkansas's advantage. I think Arkansas would be a much better team in March if they were still in divisions, and I think they would be the runaway winner in the West this year.
Well, how many teams are in – is there 18 – 9 – how many total teams are there in the SEC now? Because we just
14.
Added 2. 14. So you go 7-7. There's your 2. So there's 14 games. Or, no, you take one away. So there's 12 games. And then you play, you know, alternate 4 or 5 teams that you just alternate through.
You want to play everybody, though, and –
That's why they're doing that.
It's a scheduling nightmare.
But that's what the SEC tournament's for. You don't have to play everybody in the East. You know, I agree with you, Andy, that, you know, you have your division and then you play a couple. Because of the football thing, we have our division and then we play a couple teams in the East.
Well, if for no other reason, you get to have one extra champion every year. And that's always – that's good for recruiting. It's good for the fans. It creates some interest in a divisional race. And, you know, what do they have this year, Trey? 18 league games?
Yes.
What's the difference between 18 league games and 19 league games, which is what you would have? And you play a round robin within your division. The 7 teams in the other division, once you play in 19 games, what's the big deal?
I don't get it. I don't get it. But we don't make the schedules. We just have to see what they go with, and TV dictates a lot of when you play as well. There are going to be a lot of those Thursday, Saturday games sometimes. I know Mike Anderson wasn't fond of those last year, the Thursday night, Saturday games, and he was hoping that if you play on a Thursday night, then your game's at home on Saturday. Well, I think he had to travel on the road back-to-back a couple of times. We'll just have to wait and see how it plays itself out.
Well, I did ask Charles Bloom when he was with the SEC office. He has since moved on to an associate athletic director position at his alma mater in South Carolina. And I have asked him on more than one occasion if the SEC office does the scheduling over drinks in a bar.
And his response was?
He just went, "Oh, we do what we can." I'm like,
he said, "I'll have another."
Man, this just doesn't make sense, you know. But it made sense to somebody in the league office. I don't think they're going to stay with this. From the people in Birmingham that I have talked to within the league office, I don't know that they're going to stay with this. I think it's something they're looking at and checking out. But, man, for the Razorbacks this year, this is the worst thing that could have happened, is the way this schedule fell. It would have been so nice to beat two divisions. Arkansas run away with the West title. It would get fans pumped and juiced into it again. And, you know, maybe bring home a championship, which always helps in recruiting and public relations.
I totally agree with you there on that point, Andy. Let's move to football, and Brett Bielema still trying to fill out his staff. Some additions over the weekend. Your thoughts on the additions to his staff?
He's got some good coaches. I am really excited. I like the way he's putting this staff together on the offensive side. Jim Chaney is a guy that started out as a spread option guy, and then he went more to the pro-style game, emphasizing the passing attack. He uses a lot of the short crossing patterns like Bobby Petrino's offense ran. And Tennessee's problem the past 2 years, guys, has not been on the offensive side, particularly this past year. Their problem has been on the defensive side, and I think Jim Chaney brings in a offensive system that the fans are really going to like and enjoy, and it's going to have a lot of similarities with what they have done the past 5 years under the Bobby Petrino system. The defensive coach, they hired the defensive line coach, Charlie Partridge, who is at Wisconsin. He is the co-defensive coordinator up there, and this guy has a track record of coaching people up to play defense and play defense at a very high level. And don't forget, he was the coach for the guy with the Jets that's considered one of the best quarterbacks in the game, if not the best, Darrell Revis.
Interesting take there. What about Tim Horton? We've been getting the calls and questions about what's his future like. We know he's had offers at Auburn to be the running back coach down there. We believe that he's had an offer from Brett Bielema to stay on the staff in some capacity. Don't know officially what that is. He was in the running for the Appalachian State job. Not going to take that job, we don't believe. What's the future with Tim Horton?
I have not gotten a straight answer, but everybody that I talk to say that knows Tim far better than I do tells me that they feel like at the end of the day he's still going to be on the Arkansas Razorback staff. And I think that would be something that would be very, very good for Brett Bielema to have Bobby Allen and both Tim Horton, because I don't think, guys, there's any two people that have been associated with the University of Arkansas since the Wilson Matthew days that has the knowledge and the rapport with the high school coaches from one end of this state to the other, and dipping off into Texas, down into Louisiana, Missouri, and Mississippi, and some of the surrounding states. I don't think there's any two guys that have a better rapport with the high school coaches than Bobby Allen and Tim Horton.
Andy, as always, good stuff. We appreciate it. People can find your writing in two places, online at hogcountryonline.com and in the print publication.
The print publication, Hog Country, that is growing, and we're up to about 60,000 readers a week right now.
All right, Andy, thanks so much. We'll talk to you later on this week.
All right, thanks, guys.